the best.
Barely.
We can shape up in there.
The well, best.
I'll hit you with a horn for that. Go ahead.
Podcast in the world.
Vox was giving Sky shape up earlier, but we got it all right.
That's crazy.
Virtual.
That's crazy. Got it all cleaned up.
Hey, remember back in the day, bro? You ever fall asleep in a chair, getting the shape up, getting a cut? Oh man.
Bar you get the best sleep in the barber chair, don't you?
Man.
Hey, Cowboys Collective episode 107. I literally just made that number up. I don't know if that's what we are, but
we'll just call that. Make the number up, bro.
And John shaking his head like I think we
sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're good. All right, there we go. We see y'all here early. That's great, man. This thing is really growing the right way. We got a smoker for y'all today. We're going to try to get through a lot, so I'm not going to do a bunch of intro. You guys know the people on the screen. We're going to start with here's...
Here's Johnny.
My bad.
All right, so...
Boys fast, Scott. Boys fast.
We had 3 days of mini camp practices starting on Tuesday, but it ended up only being two. We didn't have one today. They canceled that. So it was just locker room availability and shoddy. So a lot to get to. I'm not going to say that there was a ton on the field that really blew me away because they're in shorts. You know, they're not in full pads, but it is interesting to see where guys are lining up and things like that. And we will get into all of that stuff. But just right off the top, I mean, the biggest news from the week for sure, especially because it's the Dallas Cowboys, is that George Pickens was there. And then to take it to another level, George Pickens said that he's not going to hold out or hold in during training camp, which, I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, you've almost come to expect this. It seems like almost every year at training camp, there's somebody that's not there, a key player. And so George Pickens' presence, to me, was the biggest thing from this mini camp. He also looked like the typical George Pickens. I mean, the way he was moving, he did individual drills. He just didn't do any team or 7-on-7. But the way he was moving looked like the George Pickens that we saw, you know, last season, obviously, when they first got him and then in training camp and then obviously during the season. So I was a little surprised that he said that, you know, that he was going to be there just because of the fact that at training camp and no holdout. Well, now, obviously, that stuff could change between now and then because when he was asked about not being at OTAs, he said that was by the advice of his agent. So maybe something changes in the next 5 weeks with his agent. But as of right now, what he said and the way the Cowboys understand it, players and front office, is that George will be there for all of training camp and that he's understands he's going to play under the franchise tag. And so that to me is just far, far exceeds anything to come out of this training camp. Because to be honest with you, like the big storyline today, I felt like, because there, like I said, there was just locker room and mainly Dak Prescott talked and then Brian Schottenheimer after. And a big theme I could tell is the whole, well, they don't have really any distractions right now, like the Cowboys usually do. And some reporters were talking about it in our workroom after the Schottenheimer press conference. And like I said to one reporter, I go, yeah, but there's also another key factor in that, you know, covering this team for 15 years, there's plenty of these where Jerry's just walking around, stops, talks to us for 15, 20 minutes. Jerry talking for 15, 20 minutes, who knows what he says that can stir stuff up. There was no Jerry Jones at any of these. You know, I don't know if you guys remember last year, that was the time when Jerry was out there for a half hour talking to Micah, you know, and he knows what he's doing. And so that part of it is also kind of something that I take away more than maybe everything that's going on the field. It just seems like they want to try and go into this season without the distractions that obviously helped derail last season. Next up for me would probably be Christian Parker. Every time he talks, I'm just more and more impressed. You know, he's just one of those guys. It's very easy to see how he'd win you over in the interview process. He never hesitates on his answers to any questions that he gets. Very serious, but he also has kind of a lighter side. You know, I'm at the point now with just seeing how he is, the way he carries himself, the way he conducts practice. I will be surprised if they aren't a better defense. Like, I will be surprised if they have anything close to the issues they had last year. I'm not saying they're going to be the best defense. I'm not saying they're going to be a top 10 defense, but the way he carries himself, the way Caleb Downs carries himself, not like a rookie at all. Those are two of your, you know, key pieces. I think that those are some huge, like very good positive signs for turning around a defense that obviously is what prevented this team from being in the playoffs last year. One you guys can jump in, though. I don't want to just keep running down stuff. There's other stuff that I'll
add. Take your time. Put
a pin on the Christian Parker. I won't go to the George Pickens thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You said, you know, the biggest thing coming out was he was there. Could you go even further and say not just being there, but how he was when he was there? Because it seemed like he was like, let's go, boys. Like, let's roll. I'm in the middle. I got the camaraderie going. I'm with my boy CD. Dak. It didn't seem like he was there to just make a statement. He was there to kind of be a part of this thing. And obviously he said it in the press conference, but it looked like it was GP, being GP.
Oh, there? Like, maybe, I don't know. Kind of just hanging off to the side.
Right.
Maybe going and working with the quarterbacks, then over to the defensive line. Maybe sitting in the middle of the practice field, not doing anything like somebody did last year. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, we have seen that before in the quote-unquote. That's why, hey, I give props to, I can't remember, it bothers me, I can't remember which reporter asked it. Might have been Jane Slater, but it was like, you know, so no hold out and no hold in. You know, I mean, that's just like the way things have changed nowadays. So, that you have to also be like, all right, so he was like, no, I'm going to be there. I want to be there. I want to be out there on the field, you know, with my guys. And so, yeah, that's a great sign, because I think we all know how good this offense can be if you have a fully bought in George Pickens with CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, and Javonte Williams and the rest. So I thought he would be there for minicamp. It's mandatory. I didn't think he would take the fine, but I did think there was a chance that he didn't do anything, you know, and there's also a chance I didn't think that he would say that I'm going to be at training camp, because this is a guy who was asked later in the season, what about the franchise tag? What about your contract and stuff like that? And he didn't answer anything about that. You know, he was very, very like vague on what his intentions were. And he wasn't about that on the training camp thing. He could have blown that off and he didn't. So that's why that one to me stood out. And then also just because of the fact that, you know, even, you know, I think Brian and Dak thought he'd come in good shape, you know, and they have made some tweaks to some play calling things and stuff like that, that obviously he's aware of, that they're keeping him aware of. And Brian said today that, you know, George was on it. He knew exactly where he needed to be in all the mock game stuff that they were doing and all of that. And that he did not look like somebody who has just been chilling, you know, not doing anything. So I thought all of those were good signs. And then the other thing is that, as you guys have known, over these next, you know, 5 weeks, this has been prime time in the past few years, and it'll continue this year with Dak Prescott hosting several of the wide receivers, tight ends, running backs on his own as they get closer to training camp. George says, you know, he's going to be part of all of that. I'm not used to a Cowboys this time of year with no potential distractions, I guess.
Also, too, I don't want it to get lost that if all this works, Shotty gets all the credit. I say it all the time. But, like, this has been a wild little 2 years for him. You know what I mean? Dealing with the Micah stuff, Marshawn. Then we're here with the GP stuff. And I just, you know, I never want to make a habit of talking about people that don't work here no more, but I'm just curious. Like, what would Mike McCarthy do in this situation? Would Mike McCarthy be on the phone with GP constantly trying to navigate, trying to make sure things, hey, man, you know, we need you, blah, 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 blah. So when Shotty's talking about leadership, it ain't like just Shotty sitting on his hands waiting on shit to happen. Like, Shotty's actively trying to push what he's selling to us. And I just want to keep giving him credit. I want to constantly give Shotty credit, because if all this goes, whether from GP to CP, if all this works, it's on him.
So I don't think Mike would have been like this, to your point, to answer your question. But my thing with Mike McCarthy in my time covering him, I did not think this the first couple of years, but the longer he was around, the more I kind of felt like that was kind of his personality, because he wanted it to be kind of like a player-led team. You know, like, and I guess I feel that way because he took over for Jason Garrett, who's a former player, who was a guy on game days in the pregame warmups. He's throwing the football around, you know, like he's one of the players out there. And like, for example, like I look at the Knicks, like I just feel like the Knicks are a very like player-led team. And I always felt like in those later years that Mike wasn't trying to overstep that he wanted like the players to, you know, kind of rise up and this be your thing. Because I think I got the feeling that that's what worked for him in Green Bay. That's not to say that's going to work everywhere, you know? But to your point though, no, I don't think he would be, I think he'd keep in contact with George. I don't know if he would be doing it to the level that Brian is right now. I don't see that happening.
Also, too, the more I think about it, if Mike was in charge, we'd be having contract talks about Courtland Sutton and not George Pickens, but that ain't my business.
Yeah.
I mean, Courtland Sutton, nice dude, but
that's he nice dude.
He ain't George Pickens.
I wouldn't complain about
Sutton. Hey, Scott said,
you wouldn't be complaining because we was coming off nonsense at wide receiver and Courtland.
You know, I legitimately think Courtland Sutton good, though. Like, if he was my wide receiver, too, I'd be fine with that.
But boy, GP is your wide receiver 1B.
He is a wide receiver 1B. But you don't need a wide receiver 1B. You could have Sutton and Lamb and be very
shit. We got one though.
We do, but you said that like it was a bad thing. That's why I'm pushing back.
I'm just saying that I think the more you can get, the better. And I actually take this from you, Scott, all the time. I don't want to leave no stone unturned. I'm greedy. I want to get as much as I possibly can.
Absolutely.
And if I can get Courtland Sutton as an upgrade, fine. If I can get Alec Pierce as an upgrade, fine. But if I can get George Pickens, I want George Pickens. That just is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
How much credit do you give to the Cowboys on that?
On
the year he had last year, George.
A lot. And Dak Prescott gets about 75% of that.
Yeah, I'm just bringing that up because I feel like that's a little lost in like this offseason. I'm not saying by any of you guys, and I'm not saying it's like a major thing, but I feel like when I read a lot of stuff and I hear a lot of people talk about it, it's all that George put this thing on his season on his back and everything was great and all that. I just think that the system and everything that was around him, I think helps as well. I'm not saying that you need to take a discount, you know what I'm saying? But I think I don't know, like just not to take a shot at anybody directly, but the team that comes to mind for me is Arizona. Yeah. Like if he goes to Arizona with what was going on, like the whole Kyler Murray thing and all that, like I'll put it this way. It's hard for me to say Marvin Harrison Jr. is just a bad football player. You know what I'm saying? Like there's just certain organizations where you're just like, if you tell me Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to like a winning program and all of a sudden looks like the guy out of Ohio State, I will not be shocked.
My only pushback is that 1,000 yards with Kenny Pickett is the same thing as 1,400 with Dak. Just in my perspective, it's a joke that I say, but that's still 1,000 with Kenny Pickett. Go ahead, Scott.
There's a saying where I come from, and this is, you know, it pertains to George Pickens. He is a product of his environment. If you really think about it, when he was at Georgia, he act like he was a Georgia Bulldog. You see how he was. He was a little wild child.
Think he act like a Steeler.
No, he did. Think product of your environment. His environment was hostile. He had no quarterbacks. He had a coach who he didn't really connect with, but didn't dislike, but they did not have that type of relationship he has with Shoddy. He was very frustrated. The Steelers organization was not that pristine organization that
that's
we know.
True. That's a good point. That's a good chaotic point. Cause they kind of got a little wild there with Antonio Brown in some parts there too.
That aspect of it. And so he's adopting that environment. He's frustrated. You know, he gets to Dallas. He becomes a product of his environment. Got a good quarterback, got a little bit looser. The locker room is tighter. The head coach connects with the players a little bit better. You know, Jerry Jones, for all we, you know, the things he doesn't do great, he still was a player's owner in that way. If you're on his good side, he will let you know. If he's not, he'll ship you out type thing. So I think he became a product of his environment in each stop. And you even brought it up, Arizona. If he went to Arizona, I think he would have became a product of that environment as well, which was very weird and chaotic and up and down.
And let's be honest, CD plays a big role in this. Dak plays a big role in this.
That's part of the environment, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. When you have a quarterback,
they might have the biggest role. Their role might be way bigger than even.
I think their role, I think
Shoddy or anything. Those might be the two biggest players in the whole thing that are why it was successful as them. Is if it wasn't for those two, you know,
Dak's mindset is GP. I got you. We're gonna make it work. Even when he gets a little hype, a little tense. I got you. We'll get you going. We'll slow things down. Shoddy made the joke today about him running slants and spamming slants. And like, even with Shoddy saying, you know, we want to move him around the slot. Those are things that keeps George interest peaked. He's a guy that you have to, you can't just, I'm pretty sure Mike Tomlin's like, hey man, this is how we do things, it's a steal away. A player like George, he gonna go off the deep end on a team. Like, cause that's how
we
not...
do things, George. We got Russell Wilson.
Hey, no, but you gonna run down football facts, and you got Kenny Pickett, but we're gonna play good defense. George probably looking like, wait, what?
So yeah
it's interesting.
No, to Sky's point though, I will say, yeah, sometimes I get a little caught in the nostalgia of it, because over my 44 years on this earth, the Steelers are typically like no nonsense, but yeah, now that I think about it, they were getting kind of, they did get a little loose for a while.
I think Tomlin comes off as like you said, the no nonsense, but
absolutely.
The problem is this, John, this is an offensive league. I don't care. Listen, if you have an offense that's bad and you have a great weapon, because I don't think there was anybody in their right mind that looked at George Pickens' ability and said, well, man, this just doesn't make sense. A lot of off-field, I understand. But if you were watching this
don't do that. There was no off-field.
Well, no off-field. Not, you're right.
Like
no
George off, Pickens' I, you know, thing you, was I know, immaturity I know, on the field.
I know what you're saying, Scott.
Now that I think about it, of the past seven steal a wide receiver one type guys, GP might be the most chill. All the rest are maniacs.
Chase Claypool
and them. And, Mike Wallace. You know what I'm saying? Deontay, what's his name? DK Metcalf. People in the stands. GP the most chill of the last six or seven.
No, he was not, though, in Pittsburgh.
He ain't pushed nobody in the stands, guy.
What?
GP?
And he did that on the field.
So
he,
that's
he, bro. He pushed Jordan Lewis on the field.
No, nah, you thinking about Jordan Lewis. You ain't seen the other you didn't see the other stuff that GP was doing. There is a montage of George Pickens crashing out on the field.
But did he push a fan in the stands?
He pushed fans on the stands on the field, is what I'm saying.
So
he
what I'm saying
equivalent on the field.
He hold was, on, let's see the forest through the trees. What I was saying was not off field. I'm just saying like the little minutia that people try to make George Pickens out to be a bad
minutia. Now your ass gotta come out and say minutia. I be damned. Come on. Minutia? What that mean, bro? Real fast. Go.
When I look at GP, to me, it's one of them things is like, I feel like it all got lost, because when you playing with a bad quarterback, he just was frustrated. That was more or less my point. Nothing off the field. And to be honest with you, him in this team, and we said this yesterday, we were on y'all, him being on this team, I feel like helps loosen guys up, because he plays loose. Like he's out there having fun. Now he gonna do something stupid, like you said, grab Jordan Lewis by his face mask or whatever the case. But the minutia and the stupid stuff, it doesn't bother me. And people shouldn't get caught up in it more or less.
Yeah. You want me to go through some other stuff that I saw and the 2 days?
I really want to talk about how they gonna move him around, because I think that's dope.
Yeah,
how they gonna move George Pickens around? Like, what do y'all think about
them? It sounds like Flo's getting moved around. I think this is the next step to evolving the offense. You know, they want these guys to be interchangeable. They look at CD and how, you know, lethal he is. You know, Philly fans don't like that he can go in the slot. But I always say this: if your three can't guard him, I'm gonna hunt the matchup. Why would I throw him out there against not that there's Del Revis, but why would I throw him out there against Del Revis if I could throw him out there against Kenny Moore at 35. I'm gonna throw his ass out there against Kenny Moore at 35. So imagine the three trying to deal with George Pickens in the slot. You know, I don't think he's a slot receiver, but he can do the big slot stuff, obviously. So I think it's cool. It's the next evolution of this offense.
If you're a defense, are you trying to, you know, I go back to the whole like Bill Belichick telling Chad Johnson before the game, like, oh, don't even worry about it. You're not going to get anything. We're taking you away. And you'd be like, serious, Bill? Are you really? If you're playing this Cowboys team, who are you taking away next year? I'm thinking I'm trying to take away GP.
Exactly. And I think it happens sometimes, John.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the conversations that fans got lost in. Who's the one? I don't give a damn. Mike said it perfectly. We need them both.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter who you want to consider. I don't care about that. That's just a talking point for clicks and whatnot. Both of them out there makes this team more dangerous, in my opinion, than any passing offense in the league.
How much there are there, John? You trying to take away GP? Why?
I think you can frustrate him more if he's not getting any balls thrown his way. I think there's a better chance of him getting frustrated than CD, maybe. And then it's tough because it's close, because they both have such big play potential that you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You know, you don't want to just let CD catch 10 balls for 175 yards either. You're going to lose either way. So, but also a part of that is like what Sky said about, he does bring like a little bit of a, like a swagger, a little bit of a, you know, chip that I think the rest of the team might feed off of too. I just think it might be a mistake from an opponent to kind of let him be the guy that is singled up.
Also, if he's staying on a boundary, a little easier to take away than if you're moving around like a CD.
Right.
CD can go play left, right, slot, backfield. It's hard to take that away, where GP is not 9 times out of 10 going to play out on the outside. Just a little easier. I'm saying it's easy. It's just a little easier to...
Oh, one thing that has nothing to do with any of that, but just something I've always noticed with him that stands out to me is like, he's just one of those guys like Savone Rebell. Like when you're standing next to them in the locker room, you're just like, damn, this is like a big dude, because not all guys are like that. Like not all, and obviously all NBA players are, but like NFL players, there's some guys who are like, man, I thought this guy would be taller, whatever. GP is a taller receiver, no doubt. But when he's going through his like individual stuff and in his breaks and his routes and stuff, I'm always amazed at how low to the ground he gets. Like he does not run like an upright, like, you know, rigid wide receiver. Like he moves extremely, like way better than you would probably think for most guys his size. Like, because really all we had to watch was individual drills of this. And so obviously whatever he was doing, I was watching at these practices. And I noticed it a little bit last year, but then this year it just stands out even more. Like he does not move like just this, I'm a big receiver, put me on the outside, throw it to me. And I think that's also why you can see how he could thrive in the slot.
I always say he, I'm not saying he's Randy Moss, but he has that deceptive speed that gets up on you in that long stride that Randy Moss had. And that's why, you know, and then you add that with the fact that he is a true 6'3". Like he's fast. Like he got real, real speed. Let's switch gears. John, I was talking to you. Everybody seems very impressed with Caleb Downs. From what you've seen, what you've heard, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's like nothing about him that seems like a rookie. There's no way you would think that he's a rookie. There's plenty of rookies that have come through that you can tell right off the bat. You're like, oh yeah, this dude is probably going to take him a little bit to, you know, adjust the NFL game. You know, maybe he's going to need a full year. I don't see that with him. Like, I don't see them babying him with anything either. I think they're going to throw as much on his plate as you would with any of these other elite top 15 safeties that have been drafted that we've talked about, that I don't see a learning curve with him at all. And he just has a little bit of that. I don't know if you remember that. I'm trying to think which, if it was an all or nothing or if it was, but it ended with Sean Lee, like in the meeting room. It was that one, like behind the scenes, like they had like the drone that went through all out the facility and stuff like that. And it was like after the season ended, they broke the team meeting. So everybody was leaving because the season's over. And then they show Sean Lee in that meeting room by himself because he was already getting ready for like next season. That's how I think of Caleb Downs. Like, I just don't think that he cares about anything other than knowing every possible part of this defense. And I think having someone creative like Christian Parker is such a great fit for him. I mean, you know, you can easily just go, oh, he's just talking when he says that, hey, you know, I wanted to go to Alabama for Nick Saban. And then Nick Saban leaves and he's like, all right, well, I want to move on to the next challenge. I want to move on to something that's a little bit different. And like, I really do think that that's not just all talk. And so, just like I said about Christian Parker, I'd be surprised if he doesn't have success in year one. I'd be stunned if Caleb Downs doesn't have success and is up for defensive rookie of the year, like all season, immediately making an impact.
Oh, man, that got me fired up, bro. We got a Sean Lee. I'm really just trying to chill and be professional right now. I really want to stop, but you just said that.
You know how it is. You guys hear like these – The coaches will say this stuff. This guy loves football. This guy loves football. Like one of my favorite ones that we joke around about sometimes is McCarthy. You said it a little bit, but Shoddy does it too. With the whole like, yeah, always sits in the front of the room. So we'll joke around and be like, what is there like 42 seats in the front of the room and nobody sit like, is everybody sit in the front of the room? I remember they would say that about Zeke all the time too. I'm like, okay, great, whatever. But Caleb Downs really does like come off as he walks that walk. Like he is obsessed with football. Like I really got the feel. I'm not saying there aren't other players, But the one that always comes to mind that I've covered is Sean Lee. Like, you just knew he was obsessed with football.
Adam Archuleta had a fantastic tweet, by the way. He said, you know, it really does affect who you are as a player,
yes,
depending on where you get drafted.
Yes.
And my goodness, could we have had a more perfect match than Caleb Downs and Christian Parker? I don't know if there's any, I don't know every.
Oh, are you talking about like what team they go to?
Yeah. The coach, okay, yeah, team. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can go to a good organization,
yeah,
but you could have poor coaching at that specific position, or you can go to a poor organization but have fantastic coaching at that position.
Right.
So, you know, I feel like we're not a poor, we may be poor in certain aspects, but I don't think we're a poor organization. And yeah, also don't think now we're poor coached either. I think Caleb Downs is not afraid of the star. He's, like we talked about it before, Alabama, right? Ohio State, national championship game. That don't bother him. He's so locked in, that don't bother him. And then he gets a coach like Christian Parker who is going to coach him. The details, very smart, kind of like he is, the accountant type of stuff, the very intellectual type of coach and player combined. It's just, I think it's just a perfect match. And I think that's going to actually accelerate his curve in year one, is being able to have a guy like him as opposed to, respectfully, Matt Eberflus.
Well, and you also know that he, you know, it's one thing if you get like a veteran safety who, let's say they sign in free agency, like an Ed Reed type who's already been playing for 5 or 6 years, you're just like, oh, we already know what you're getting there. But with a rookie, there could be a learning curve, but you already know he can handle that because you saw the success that a Quinion Mitchell was able to have and a Cooper DeJean. So he's already coached young dudes like that, and
Patrick's
obviously had a lot of success. Yes, yeah, no doubt.
I think this secondary would be as good as they can retain and apply CP's. You know what I'm saying? Like his mentals or whatever. You know,
his brain works, Vosh.
His brain. Don't get me mistaken. I would love to have a Derek Stingley type guy playing corner. I would love to have a prime Ed Reed dude playing safety. But I do think that in this system, there's going to be some leeway for, you may not be the most talented guy, but if you can handle the workload that CP has for you, you'll be fine. You understand what I'm saying? So man, Caleb Downs, if he has the ability to download and retain all that information and CP don't get the hold back at all, then you can see some weird shit like, oh, I want you to line up at edge first, then go to deep thirds just to end up in robbers somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
And CP's going to have to make sure he doesn't overload these guys too fast too, right? So that's going to be a cool thing to watch. Mm-hmm. How often, or not often, when does he, like you said, not hold back? Because initially, what he said, we're still in freshman 15 right now. That's what we called it, right? We're not undergraduates, or we are undergraduates. We haven't graduated yet, and we have to do that come end of training camp. So I think that's going to be something important too to watch.
Yeah, my only question is on when you talk about that stuff would be, is still the inside linebacker thing. I just need to see more there. But every other position, like when you talk about that, Vosh, I think of like up front. Mm-hmm. Like when you ask these guys, like even Christian Parker said it the other day, like who are like some of the leaders on defense standing out, immediately rips off the Kenny Clark, the Quinnen Williams, Rashawn Gary. Like I really think those dudes will keep everything in check up front. Yeah. And then I do think that they have a lot of veterans and guys that know what they're doing, and Caleb and that on the back end. So if the inside linebackers can pick up whatever Christian Parker wants to do, and I say them too, because obviously they're going to be the one wearing the green dot, calling it. And I'm not saying that I don't expect them to do it, but that's the one that I want to see it from probably the most. I just feel comfortable with all the other spots that you won't see the stuff that we saw last year, I guess is what I'm trying to say from those groups.
Did y'all happen to see the video of Christian Parker? It was probably some coaching clinic, some young coach thing. And it was like him and Marcus Dixon talking to coaches, like breaking down what he's doing. Did y'all see that?
Yeah, so they used to let us go to that, and then they stopped it like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, what? That'd be great for the media.
Yeah, because we were tweeting about it, and they didn't like that. So, and
that's really?
And what happened.
We used to see Kellen Moore's a lot here.
But what just happened on that thing is exactly why I always argue against. Is I'm always like, well, some coach can just post that stuff or whatever like
people
that.
People will find that stuff.
Oh, no, hey, I've gone to those, and I'm telling you, those coaches are great in that stuff. Like, there's some where like some of these coaches, like right off the beginning, just put their phone number down on the big board, and they're like, "You ever need anything,
bro?" At clinics, that's what they do. I tell people this all the time about coaching. You got to stop it. and you got to call it and know how to call them. And folks can give you the playbook. Are you ready to call it? Do you know how to set it up?
Yeah.
How to practice.
I loved it. Yeah. Being there.
I noticed that drill work too. The practices ones are more interesting.
I liked watching it because it gave you a sense of
who they are,
putting yourself in the shoes of a player and seeing how that guy teaches, you know? So I loved going to those things because, I mean, I'm not going to name any names, but there's a lot of coaches. When I sat through those things, I'm like, I can see why he has success. I can see why he doesn't. I can see why the players relate. There were a couple that threw me off that I was like, oh damn, like that guy's actually like way better at this than I thought he'd be. But that is that little area right there was very telling. I hate that they don't let us go anymore.
Glacier does one out here. SEC coaches come all the time. They'll give you their whole playbook.
Because that's the thing, man. Like, you can be able to scheme like crazy, but if you can't teach it to someone,
you can't teach it.
You know, and even like Brian was saying today, he's like, and then on top of it, just like in school, you know, you're in class and you got whatever 25, 30 other kids in your class. Like, every one of those kids is not learning the same exact way.
Nope.
So you can't just teach the same exact a lesson to everyone. And it just does seem like Christian Parker is really on the forefront of being able to adapt to, like, that's why he was talking about these quizzes he'll give out and like different ways that he'll test guys just to see if they know what's going on, you know, or, so that if he maybe has to dial it back with a certain player, maybe he needs to spend some extra time with a player, you know.
I'm telling you, man.
What Clayton Adams said was, go ahead, Scott, I'm sorry.
No, John had said something a couple of weeks ago. Would you rather have one of them ones at defensive coordinator? I think we got one. Clayton. I think he's a potential innovator. And look, everybody, you know, people in the chat, oh, man, you're praising them too much. You know, I have not seen this type. Vosh, we've talked about this. You talked about it publicly behind the scenes. People in the building that have been there for 17 years. Have not seen this type of brain work on that side of the ball in regards to connecting with the players and from what is about to happen schematically. I think we might have one, man.
I'll just say it like this. There's no chance I will ever name any of the names of the coaches I'm thinking of right now.
Sure.
But there's a lot of phonies out there. Mm. And and I'm talking phonies that held up that Lombardi. Okay.
Oh, you talking about?
I don't think he's a phony. Let's just put it that way. That's the best way I can describe it to you. I do not think anything about Christian Parker is a phony.
I could just say it loudly now because we've done the interview with him and he just like said it. But if you ever talk to Ross Winchie about it, like talk to him about Christian Parker coming to the scouts, explaining, breaking down what it is, letting him know what he needs. And if you look at Ross, reflect on what he sat in front of, he always shake his head. He's like, man. Like he always take a deep breath. This is going to be, you know what I mean? And he's a guy that's in the building. Like he ain't like,
not just in the building, like, working with them dudes.
National scout.
Hey, I need you to get this guy.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's befuddled at what the hell going on. Will McClay says the same. Shotty try to play cool. Shotty be trying, yeah, man, you know, got some da da da. I bet Shotty got to be sitting back going, it ain't finna happen again, motherfucker.
Yeah.
My guy, yeah.
I think, too, what Clayton Adams said something that was like, sometimes the best coaches, like, they can give you the tools, keys, whatever, but do you know how to adjust? Like, he was saying he thought he was going to be a wide zone team one year. And I think he was talking about with Arizona and how Arizona. That just, you know, that didn't hit a certain
way.
Yo,
running back 250 pounds and shit.
Coming from yeah, so, like, I love listening to talk about that.
Yeah, I just think knowing how to adjust and adjust on the fly, knowing your team, you know what I mean? You can have everything, but do you know how to, this ain't going to work for us, so we got to get to this. So
I'm really looking forward to the game.
I think that's massive.
They get out on the field and the defense is getting cooked early on and to see how he adjusts to it because that happens to everybody. The league's too damn good for you. Every time we go out there, we just dominate. Like, I don't care who the players are. Like, these teams are too good. And so how he reacts, you know, when the bullets are flying, that's going to be really interesting to see too. So I can't wait for that.
I liken it to how I feel about cornerback. You're going to get beat, but how do you respond when you get beat? And can you make more plays than you give up? I mean, you can really apply that to coaching, right? Like your scheme is going to get whooped. You're going to get cooked, like you said, John. But can you adapt? Not the whole halftime adjustment. We ain't got to halftime.
The next right series, now. What you about to do?
Exactly. It's the third quarter. There is no halftime. Can you adjust to make the stop to win the game? And again, this goes back to, I kind of want to see him in the booth, John. Something about him just gives off, He's seeing numbers and math problems and space and science on the field, man. And he's like, found it. Got him. Right.
You know, that
might all come down to I kinda want to push back on that. I think I think I do because I feel like his energy might translate a little bit better being down there. Now I don't know.
Yeah,
he said something, his energy and like how he was, how they was going back and forth. And like, I like all of that stuff. Some of that could be semantics, but like, I love when coaches go at each other.
I will say this. I think it depends on the players. And what I mean by that is going back to the teaching thing, he's going to know those guys better than we do and how they learn. If he feels like, hey, this key player, they need me to be down there.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be down on the sidelines. If he's also, like this guy, and this guy can handle it, I can see him being up in the booth.
Scott,
so
let me
can
ask
see
you
the
a question.
Whole picture.
Let me ask Scott a question. Because, and he, I really dissected his interview. Remember he said he kind of like gravitates towards the DBs. Right. Do you think he's a coach that, hey, what we getting? Hey, y'all, what we doing? What are they giving us? Are they giving us stick here? Are they giving us two-man snags? Are they giving us floods? What are they doing? And do you think he's one of those type, okay, they're giving us this and give those little quick coaching points, especially with that group, because I still feel like that group's going to need the most care.
Two things here. As a position coach, yes, obviously, right? Because he's down there. He's talking to these guys only, but he's not just a position coach anymore. He can't just gravitate to that group during game day. Cannot do it. He'll be neglecting a whole other half of the defense, and he wouldn't have to ask those questions if he's in the booth, right? Because he's seeing exactly what that's what I mean by like he's seeing the math problem, he's seeing the numbers playing out, the X's and O's moving, right? So if he's going to be on the ground, I'll take it back to what you said more about the personality, the feel, like you know the motivation. I think that's going to be determined by his assistants. Assistants can handle that, but remember, Dan Quinn's the ultimate coach, players coach, the ultimate. Dan Quinn wasn't down on the ground. He was in the booth because he had a guy like Al Harris. He didn't Aiden Durday. Like these guys were able to give off that energy where he didn't have to do it. He could focus on just calling the plays. So to a little bit to what John's point of can these players handle it? Can the coaches handle it? Can they pick up that slack of what maybe Christian Parker would bring from an energy standpoint, from a teaching standpoint? But I love that he said, I got to kind of pull away from the DBs and focus on the whole picture.
Trust his guys.
He's young, y'all. Like, this is different for him. This isn't a seasoned, grizzled veteran who can do that easily. That was tough. Hell, Dan Quinn didn't do it. Dan and John, you probably now you were, we were down there, Vosh, but I can't remember. Dan Quinn was working with the damn defensive lineman, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
We just what majority. Now I'm saying he wasn't with the linebackers as he was, or wasn't with the DB, but he was majority with the D line or the pass rush and that linebacker, what have you, because that's what he was. So
well, and then also with him, and maybe I'll see this, and we'll realize it with Parker staff too. For Dan Quinn, I will say, I think a lot of that had to do with the trust and how much experience and how close he was to Joe Witt Jr. And so I know he trusted him on the back end. So if you have a guy like that, who I just don't know this assistant coaching staff well enough in terms of their relationship with Christian, that if he has a guy like that, then I can see where he'll be like, oh, hey, these guys got that. I'm going to spend a little bit more time here because this area needs my help more. But if he feels like, hey, they all got it equally, I think he's spending more time with the DBs, to be honest with you.
You don't want him spending the most time there and he's ignoring the rest because he still is putting the game plan together. He's calling the plays. He needs to know front half, back half, middle. But he does have a guy, Marcus Dixon. I think he trusts him a lot. You know, I don't think he's really going to.
I think you trust Ryan Smith.
Ryan.
So look, that was my point. Like when they were hiring all these guys, The one thing that you kept hearing from the neutral national people is, hey, that's a good ass hire. They're going to be a DC one day. You know what I'm saying? Like you kept hearing that from neutral national people, Georgia people saying, hey man, Chig going to be up next. Or the Cardinals people like, hey man, y'all got one.
Right.
Like they didn't build this staff like, oh, Jim Tom Sula, you've been with me for 13 years. Come with me. these are like up and coming dudes that they trust, that they're hiring them dudes because they trust them. I think on the field stuff is going to be the young bulls, the assistants or whatever. I'm with Scott. I think CP want to see everything. And their whole thing is like communicating. He going to be on the walkie talkie. Hey, Derek, tell. But I think he wants to look and see spacing. I think he wants to see, oh, how many times did you line up in this? Like the view flat on the field is so different than looking down.
Yep.
And when you look down on it, it just gives you it's almost like you playing chess. It's almost like you playing Madden. You rely on the still images when you on the sideline, but when you up in the booth, you go, man, why they ignoring this side of the field? Why they motioning only to this side? Why the running back only over there? You just notice smaller things when you see it from up high. And I'm saying this from experience. So if I don't know nothing about CP, that's why I'm looking at y'all like this, because I don't know nothing about CP. But if I had to guess the type of cerebral dude that he is, all the hard communication work is going to be done during the week.
Monday through Saturday.
I think he want to see the shit game day.
Like I said before, though, whatever he chooses, he's got to stick there. Because with the Dallas Cowboys, I'm telling you right now, like, Vosh, you talk about the neutral middle media. I'm going to tell you that the loudest part of it nationally is the one that's not neutral. And if they have the Dallas Cowboys have a defensive coordinator that one week he's up in the booth and next week he's on the sideline,
I think
that's going to be a huge, huge story.
I think he's allowed one switch, though. He's never called plays. He's never done this before.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure he ain't the first person to, you know what, this ain't for me, go back down. And no one thinks about it when it happens.
He's part of finding himself.
But if
he'll get a good feel for it, though. He'll get those practices with the Saints and the Rams, and he'll have the three preseason games. He'll have a good feel for it. I could see him maybe in the preseason games, maybe. I don't know, because he's good at talking. Quinnen Williams like this, too. They're good talkers, but they're really not giving you a ton. And so he's tried to keep that pretty close to the vest then.
Did y'all hear him when he mic'd up? He said, hey, they got me mic'd up, so I can't really, you know.
I can't say the shit. You know?
He not, yeah, like, and it was still encouraging to see.
Yeah.
And to play devil's advocate with myself, to your point, Scott, his whole thing is you guys should be communicating. You guys should know the looks that we got, so you guys should be able to talk through some of these things. So I think that made for a good conversation. Let's get to the Prize Picks, Reed, and we'll talk about
it. Real quick, that reminds me of the saying, and if I'm saying it wrong, let me know. This is something along the lines of you can catch a fish for a man to feed him, or you can teach him how to fish
and feed him for the rest of his life. He can,
like, y'all, let me teach y'all how to communicate so I don't have to do it on game day.
I mean, yeah, you know the checks. You know what's going on. I completely agree. And honestly, bro, we just haven't seen players talk like this about a guy. I mean, they've all said the word detail. Working on something. Every player, like every defensive guy said, he's extremely detailed. He's making sure that we know what we're going on. He's very peculiar. So it's going to be a
fun, I mean, all we have time to go off of is what we have right now.
Absolutely.
Like, I can't sit here and tell you what it's going to look like week 12.
Right.
Nobody can. So all we can say is go off what we can right now. And I'm just telling you, from what I've seen and from what I've heard, there hasn't been one thing where I've been like, ooh, I don't know about that one. We might have to circle back to that later. I haven't heard anything. So I get it. He's never called a defense before. There's probably overhype in the fan community. I get that. But I'm just saying there's nothing that I've seen or heard that would make me think that he's not ready for it.
And to your point about the linebackers, I want to make this point real quick, John. Brother, we won't know anything about them until pads come on.
Preseason,
until they got to close gaps. Yeah. they run around tagging off. But, you know, we'll see what's going on. And speaking of the season, guys, let's kind of talk through it. This dude is so phony, bro. I'm
the phoniest.
That's good.
Where you go?
Myself back to the stage. There we go. Dude. I got to get the three, man. I was doing good.
They don't want to make a scene where they take us off, but they can still hear us. That's what they need to do.
That's a good camera you got there, man.
Thank you, man. That thing crazy, ain't it, John?
Oh, my God. I didn't mess this whole thing up, bro. There we go.
You shooting movies over there?
Here's Johnny. Hey, John. Let's jump right to the Jake Ferguson one. Over or under, or more or less for Jake. I think I like more here. I think I like more.
As long as he stay healthy, yeah, that's definitely more.
That's definitely more still?
500 out, bro. 524 yards. He got six something average, like 2 yards per reception last year. So I can see him getting over 540. Man, more.
Tough.
Sorry. More.
It's tough because, man, CD's going to get his. George is going to get his. They want to try and get Jaden Blue involved in the passing game more. I don't know, man.
I see. Somebody said, what are
Brandon Sorsby's props? That's a good one.
Ryan, I could see Ryan Flannoy benefiting from some very advantageous matchups against some number three, number 100%. Corners.
But this, we know how this is going to go, John. Target share, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, Jake Ferg. That is how it's going to go.
That's fair.
Even with everybody else getting a little here and there, that may chip away at all of them as opposed to one. You at the end of the day, no matter how many weapons you have from an auxiliary standpoint, having a trustworthy tight end is massive, and Dak has a relationship with him. If he gets less than this, either he got hurt or an extremely disappointing season, maybe, I think.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, guys, Prize Picks, $5 gets you 50. Make sure you use code HMA. And a little special surprise, we got another sponsor of the channel, and they're going to be helping us out throughout the season. So I think we're all excited about this. Let's run it still. Uh-oh. That was good.
I don't got the button.
I think, well, hold on. I tried to do a drop, and that was just complete. What in the world? Oh, here we go. Hold on. Wait. You know what? This is why they got to dig us. We need somebody actually. Where's the media? Woo, play the video. Here we go. Play it.
They let me sign back in. I'll be able to, you know what I'm saying? But I can't help
it. This is bad. I'm messing
with this new one right here.
Yeah, hold on. No. Acapella. We'll figure it out. Where's the.
Let me do it. Let me
oh,
do
here,
it.
Here it is. Here it is. I got it. Yeah, it is SeatGeek. You know, I love sports, but I like jazz even more. And from time to time, one of the things I love to do is go catch a jazz concert. Some of the greats like Roy Ayers. I mean, you name it. I wouldn't really say Kenny G, but I just like going to concerts. And that's where SeatGeek comes in. SeatGeek, they have over 70,000 events, sporting events, concerts listed. And all you got to do is use Collective 10 to get a discount. SeatGeek, thank you for sponsoring this channel.
Nah, yo.
Damn, Kenny.
Nah, Foot.
I told y'all, I don't know. Foot. Kenny definitely caught a stray. For sure.
Hey, Foot, what's up with the goddamn jump scare, bro?
Can you imagine CE going, all right, let me go watch this show that we giving all
hold the hell up, bro.
Hey, that's what production said. But listen,
they said, for let me press this button.
I like jazz.
Yeah, on my face, he was going to that bit like this. Let me tell y'all, I don't fool with Kitty G, y'all.
Hey, anybody in the chat, I'm a Roy Ayers guy, man. I'm old school, man.
Well, Fliss, you ain't have to mention Kenny G at all.
I had to throw a shot. Johnny, I had to throw a shot of Kenny.
SeatGeek make money off Kenny G concerts.
Fliss said, SeatGeek.
Hey, look, do you know how production be? Production say, let me tell y'all something. Production say,
you don't want to go to a concert?
This guy ain't never recorded.
Man, hey. Listen, hey, I be doing a lot. Them jokers said, send me a video. Wasn't none of y'all Fuss, jokers hey, going to do it.
Fuss rocking, too. Fuss doing, hey, like, yo, I need to read. Fuss said, I got you. Fuss
came really out like the gym. Like
look, Fuss came out the gym sweating. Hey, y'all, listen, man. Did a 4-mile run.
He thought he was FaceTiming.
Hey, right after my run, John.
Right after.
Y'all want a video? You got it. I ain't about to play with it. Don't got to be beautiful.
He FaceTimed somebody else and made them screen record it. Say,
hey, can you record this? Can you record this for me? Hold this phone real quick. Hey, man.
Oh, man.
I said, Satchmo. Satchmo
is that guy. Man.
Kenny G, I don't know, but SeatGeek, pull up. We got you.
It's crazy because somebody going to listen back to this and know.
I'm trying to move on, Fizz.
Kenny G ain't it. Nah, I ain't moving on. You wanted to stay here. I'm staying right here. Yeah, Kenny G. I like Kenny G, but I'm a Roy Ayers type dude. Hey, I want to get to two battles real quick that we got to watch. Running back, corner. Running back, corner. How we feeling about what's going on at corner? Because seems like Kobe Durant's getting a lot of praise. Then it seems like Savon Rebel is back to himself. So how we just, what's our high level thoughts on that?
No more about Savon Rebel, low-key.
I think the court is going to be as good as they can retain CP's information. I think that's the first part. Kobe Durant will be, you know, he'll be all right. I think he's the guy with the least questions. We ain't even seen Deron Bland practice yet, but if he's healthy, I imagine he'll be fine. Damn, dog, Foots got Vaseline too. That's crazy. John, you got Vaseline over there?
No.
I don't even own a bottle of Vaseline in my house.
Hey, Foots over there, bro.
That's crazy. Hey, boy, I got
that. Bro, they crazy. You got to keep crazy. On you.
But yeah, man. Shit, what was I saying? Yeah, man. You know, Kobe Durant will be fine. And I think there's going to be times where they have three corners on the field and they have a real corner playing nickel. I don't think they're going to leave Caleb and nickel the whole time. I think they'll put them on the roof sometimes. And I think that all three of those guys could have an opportunity to step up and do something. But like I said, whoever retains the information.
I think the ceiling of this room hinges on the development of Savon Rebel. Like, if he takes a massive leap, because I think he has the best physical tools, right? 6'3", they say 6'2". John, you probably
know. No, he's a legit 6'3".
Yeah. Real 6'3".
Yeah, a stocky, fast, physical guy. A little handsy, but I'm cool with that because this isn't going to really be a super pressed team. They're going to have a designated guy to do that here and there, and I think he's going to be the one. If he can kind of elevate and say, ADB, appreciate you holding it down for the last year, but I'm the cornerback one. If that can happen, I think then this cornerback room could be better than right now. Right now, it's just a big question mark. Let's just keep it a bean. It's a huge question mark. We might like certain guys and whatnot, but it's a huge question mark. But if he can answer a question, boy.
Yeah, I feel better about that than I do the running back spot, to be honest with you. That could change though when we get out to training camp and obviously in preseason. But I just think that Christian Parker, that being his specialty, you mentioned some of those assistant coaches that he's close with on the back end, and then also just the fact of they just have a lot of numbers to throw at it. So I don't think that they're gonna end up where they have like multiple Pro Bowl corners, but I think that they can be solid, you know. And for how bad the defense was last year, if you could just get the corners to be solid and not getting torched and knowing what their job is, I think that's good enough, man. And I think that they can do that. They have the guys to do that as long as they stay healthy. Backup running back? That's I don't know if I feel as confident about that group.
That's even more of a question mark.
That's fair.
Like, it's funny because it's a question mark because there's not a lot of production on the field.
Yeah,
I personally like the skill sets of the guys. Mm-hmm. They just haven't really been given, you know, legitimate opportunity, if you will, right? But I like what Phil Moffa could bring. I like what Jane Blue could bring, but it's one of those we don't really know yet.
You know, they want it to be Blue for sure because of how he compliments Javonte. But just exactly. Seeing how, I mean, no player aside from players that were, you know, working on the cords and stuff like that, like no player did less of like the notable players than Javonte Williams the last few days. Like you can tell that they're like, no. We're good here. Let Phil and Jaden get the work with the ones. We know what you can do. You're going to get a lot of work this season. We don't need to see much from you here. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised if Javonte doesn't do much, even in those practices against the Rams and the Saints. We know he's not playing the preseason. He didn't last year. I don't think you're going to really see him do much until week one.
As far as running back two goes, and look, let me just be clear. I would love it if the Cowboys when got Tony Pollard to come be running back too. Let me just be clear. But I do think out of the two positions that you could have less talent there because of the surrounding pieces. Like having a wide receiver is going to help. Like having Dak as a quarterback going to help. Having the offensive line, Clayton Adams, and the scheme is going to help. I don't know if we got quite the pass rush that'll help the corners in that way. So I would imagine that the cornerbacks have to be a little bit better than the running backs are. So if I had to pick which one I'm most concerned about, I would more than likely say corner. But you don't have a broke the pick six record version of running back on your team. So.
And running back is a little easier to, you know, I'm not saying any position in the National Football League is easier, but it's easier than corner.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, like, you don't necessarily have to be A-tier to have success as a backup running back behind Javonte Williams, right? Yeah. This offensive line, this quarterback, you just gotta be where you need to be, know where you need to be, and have some particular set of skill that can complement Jay Will a little bit.
What y'all think about Malik Davis being trustworthy as hell during the season, coming off the couch, and then we get to the offseason and it's like, all right, we're gonna see what Jaylon and Moffin them got.
Because he's not special.
He not, but shit.
And they know
there's no ceiling.
But they know he can get who. Okay, all right, Malik, who wants you? Respectfully.
And that could very much be like a one of those deals with they're sitting there going, well, if we want to get another veteran that we can trust, we'll go make a move for another veteran, but we don't need to do that right now. Let's see if Phil Maff or Jaden Blue can meet our expectations for them so that we don't have to go get one of those guys. But if neither of them step up to a level where we think they're running back to, then we're going to have to go make a move for somebody, because we can't have this season getting derailed because Javonte Williams gets hurt and then all of a sudden we don't know what we got at running back. Because your guy's point, they don't need a great running back, but they do need a running back that they count special. On.
I think
Go ahead.
Well, just to answer Vosh's question, that's a good question, Vosh. The problem is when there were times to go to like another running back, I don't think that they even really trusted Malik Davis in that way. Like, he did some nice things. I forget what game it was, maybe the Kansas City game or whatever. But I just don't think that they see the upside.
Yeah, you said it. He's a high floor, low ceiling player. He is what he is. There's no mystery to his game. And I feel like Blue and Moff have a special trait to them. Blue, obviously, is the speed, it's the home run ability. Moff is the size and physicality. And he's honestly, even more, he got some wiggle to him as well. Malik is a veteran, a good veteran to have in this room, but it's probably a good veteran to have on a practice squad, a good veteran to have somebody gets hurt. But if he's your RB2, I don't think anybody's losing sleep.
Wasn't Rico Dowdle kind of that guy? You know what I mean?
He was just kind of
hanging around on the roster. Wasn't really special, but he had his opportunity after 3-4 years or something like that.
Yeah. And
he
got 1,000 yards and people was like, oh, okay.
I can't wait for training camp. One of them dudes breaks off a couple of nice runs and the reception that will get behind it, because it'll remind me of last year.
Malik Davis was turning heads.
Oh, there was some Miles. I mean, Miles Sanders was where you're like,
preseason games, boy. That's what I'm looking for.
Miles couldn't fool me though.
He had that nice run against the Eagles in the opener,
and he got walked. He got walked, John, and that's the problem. Okay. He got walked, Johnny.
See, Miles ain't fooling y'all. Miles ain't fooled.
He ain't fooled me either. I was like, nope.
I'm not saying over the totality of it, but there were definitely.
I was fooling y'all. You sure was.
I'm telling you, man. I'm just saying these training camp practices can be deceiving.
Yeah. Well,
I've seen some days out there where Jameel Showers look better than Dak Prescott. Trust me on this.
I'm gonna say this.
I've seen Kyrie Elam picking off passes, picking up babies. Okay, so
Kyrie Elam with the babies, great. That was unsighted, man.
I've seen Rico Gathers making one-handed grabs out there. Sorry, go on.
That's cool.
Rico Gathers.
Hey,
TJ Vasher was another one too, making crazy.
Oh, Vasher Hive was crazy, Sky.
On the offensive line, Matt Hennessy had a neck surgery, and they're moving him to season-ending IR. I'm just bringing it up because he probably was going to be their backup center. And so now with him on IR, TJ Bass was getting all the two work there, and then the three was Trevor Keegan. So maybe that creates a roster spot for Keegan. Shiaz Pete was also working at guard a little bit, which that's – pretty big guard. But in terms of like the left tackle spot, I don't know, man. It continued to look like Guyton is going to be the guy there.
So.
Maybe next week we turn the page to the offensive line of Vach Foots, John. And I would love to give Vach's, you know, O-line insight on this. It just popped into me today with Hennessy being gone. I've ignored the depth of the line, and when I went to actually study, I was like, "Oh my god, it ain't good." I don't know how I felt this way about the depth in a while.
We've gone from this. We got to legitimately talk about this.
Wait, you don't feel good about Bass and Nate Thomas?
I do not feel good about Nate Thomas. No, okay. TJ Bass is cool, but think about this, John. We're so spoiled. we've technically had a pretty decent O-line depth for like 5 to 6, 7 years, maybe even longer than that, bro.
First five, Bass, Hoffman, like, and Chuma is a really good group.
Bro, think about that. We was getting mad at Chuma, but Chuma right now would be the for sure swing tackle. Yeah. Brock Hoffman, TJ Bass.
That's a good point. Yeah, I like, forgot about him. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And it's been that way for like probably a decade, honestly.
Yeah.
We've kind of had a solid backup line where now?
Yeah.
We talk about it. Let's talk about it next week. It is.
That's a good,
it didn't hit
good
me
topic.
Until I saw Patrick Walker post his, he was talking about the interior O-line. I was like, wait, we've been worried about the tackle depth.
Got nobody.
We ain't got shit in the middle.
You know what they ought to do? They ought to put Nate at guard. And
yes, I
they drafted Cornelius. When he was drafted, they said that he was a guard. And he kind of got the body for it. So I would wonder what that looks like with him, because he ain't in the tackle conversation at all. If you need to start figuring out guard right now, because I don't think Keegan's the guy that I want to get.
Bro, center. We need to figure out center.
I think Bass is going to be one of those spots. But if you run into a game like the Jets game last year where you need four people, I don't think you got four people.
I don't think that's Bass, bro. I think they should go look for a veteran center. That's why they got Matt Hennessy. They didn't want Bass to be the center.
You ain't wrong, but I'm just saying currently what they have. Just coming out of what they got, Bass is the center.
Well, because of the depth issue, I'm saying they need to go get one. I don't think you want to roll with, because then who do you have at guard?
Some.
Hey, Vach, would they ever kick Nate Thomas inside? Would they ever kick Nate Thomas inside if something happened?
Nate Thomas should be a guard. Chuma should have been a guard.
That's what I think.
They let him put their guards at tackle for some reason.
Hey, let me ask y'all a question. Have y'all seen, as we close, have y'all seen Casino?
Yeah, many.
The movie Casino? Brandon Laurie, a friend of the channel, does great work on Twitter. He said something about a casino, and I was thinking about Christian Parker. Remember when Ace Rothstein came into the casino and had to clean everything up? And think about maybe that's Christian Parker's character. He had to come in, clean things up, make sure. They had one dude. Yeah. You remember how everybody upstairs was watching the slots and only Ace Rothstein was able to find out old boy who was stealing?
Was cheating the blackjack table.
Yeah. Everybody was watching. They were like, y'all can't see what this dude's doing?
So you're saying put CP in the
I'm making your point. Yeah, I'm definitely making your point. So I put him up top. He did Sam Ross thing. Like, just put him up and just have him clean the casino up. Now, it got crazy at the end. I don't know who his wife going to be. Sharon Stone was a wild girl.
Wow. Boy.
I'm going to say one last thing because we had an hour and I don't want to hold y'all. But Dak had a quote today, and I thought it was hard as hell, and I sent it to who the hell tweeted this? Joe Hoyt tweeted this, and this is Dak's quote or whatever. Dak said that Quinnen Williams reminded him that he hasn't been on a team that's been to the playoffs or whatever, right? And Dak says this: I told him I'll get you to the playoffs, but I need you to help us.
Come on, you preaching there. You know what that means to me, Vach? We can't get run all over when we playing a team, boy. Anyway, we will see you guys on the next one. Vach Lombardi, John Machota, Skywalker, still the best podcast in the world.
Hey, hold on. Don't forget.
That was hard, bro.
SeatGeek, make sure y'all come to Ray's Boom Boom Room. We got everything you need, ladies and gentlemen.
I hope backstage is watching this. I will never do another read and video. Sky just messed it up. So guess who's going to be doing the next one? Sky and his beautiful camera. See y'all.